Lord, we come this morning to focus on your word. We pray that you speak deeply to our hearts, because, Lord, the needs in the world today are great, and the workers are few. Help us, Lord, to reignite the passion that was in the early church, to truly be the hands and feet of Jesus in this hurting and broken world around us. I ask this in Jesus' name. How many of you remember your days of geometry class? For me, it's something I try to forget. Math and I don't always get along very well. But I do remember that my math teacher would mark my work wrong, even if I was out by 1 degree. Really? What difference does 1 degree make? Well, I know that it can make a huge difference. Farther you are away from the starting point. Sailors and pilots know the truth of this and the consequences of not staying on track. For instance, after 1 foot, you'd be off course by 0.2 inches, which is hardly even noticeable to the naked eye, right? But what happens when you travel a longer distance? After a mile, you'd be off by 92 feet. And traveling from your hometown and going around the earth, you'd miss coming back home by 435 miles. And if you were an astronaut and you were heading to the sun in a straight line, you'd be off by 1.6 million miles. So I guess 1 degree does make a difference. Now, I'm not here to give you a geometry lesson. I'm here to give you a biblical lesson. So this truth is also true of our faith. Here we stand 2,000 years from the point of origin, from the time of the early church. At first, the church stayed on course, but slowly it began to deviate from the original plan. It began to introduce man-made traditions and customs. It became something to make us comfortable, instead of something used by the Lord to comfort others. And today, in many, many ways, there's many churches who aren't even hitting the target. It seems that the longer we linger at the temple of comfort, the further we have veered from the lifestyle and the belief of those very first believers. Today, there are way too many churches that look and act just like the society around it, and they are rotting and dying from the inside out. They aren't impacting the world in any meaningful way at all. But for those of us who want to make an eternal difference, for those of us who want to have a healthy church and a growing church, we need to get back to the rock-hard faith of the early church. We need to have the fortitude that stands strong in the face of persecution, the trusting commitment to serve those around us, and the unwavering confidence to believe in miracles, even while facing opposition for our faith. This is the attitude of our heart, where we are meant to be living every minute of every day. The point is that our service to others will involve a sacrifice on our part, in one way or another. But thankfully, it probably won't require the sacrifice that the early church was willing to endure. Remember how last week I said that we have to make a sacrifice to give up our TV time, to come to the small groups and to support one another? Well, let me tell you how the early church supported each other and lived out their faith. The Roman authorities began to put to death those in the early church. Some were tortured to death, and some were sent to the Colosseums to be killed by wild animals. At first, the church fathers were chosen to set an example, to scare others away from the Christian faith. But to the surprise of the Roman authorities, the line of the willing grew. Once a bishop was murdered, a priest would step forward. Once that priest was executed, a local elder would volunteer. Behind that elder stood a long line of believers. ready to meet their death rather than recant or denounce the name of Jesus. They didn't run. They stood together in their faith. And ancient accounts report that the impact that these martyrs had on unbelievers was powerful and compelling. After all, the Romans weren't prepared to suffer like this for their gods. So who were these people? And who was this God that they served? They asked. In this culture of persecution and death, these early believers had every right to run and hide, but they didn't. Instead, they turned their whole world upside down. They put into practice the principles that we have been learning over the last few weeks, and the Lord made them stronger and greater in number. So if they can do it, what is stopping us? Absolutely nothing but ourselves. We only have to lay down our lives to serve Jesus. In verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, we see that these early believers, these people who lived under persecution and the threat of death on a daily basis, were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Wow. Despite the danger, these mostly new believers took care of the sick. They ran to where the diseases were instead of running away from them like the Romans did. They rescued abandoned babies who in this culture were left to die of exposure on the outskirts of the city when they weren't wanted. These early believers would go out every night and rescue these children and raise them in their own homes. Because they lived out the words of Jesus, they elevated the role of women in the culture. They refused to have abortions. They valued female children as much as male children. The men loved their wives like never before. They committed themselves to helping the poor and the needy. They took care of the widows and the orphans. And they pooled their meager possessions to share with those who were in need. As the list grew, their impact on the culture also grew. Eventually, Christians could not be dismissed. They could not be ignored. The society around them knew that there was something very different about these people. These people were motivated. They weren't motivated by fear and selfish ambition. They were motivated by sacrificial love and service. But it seems that today, in too many churches, we've veered off course for a variety of reasons. We are told to do what these early believers were told to do. We are also called to lay down our lives, to set aside our fears and selfish ambitions, and serve others with sacrificial love and service. We, just like the early church, have the mandate, the divine command, to make an eternal impact on the society around us by forgetting ourselves and following Jesus to the battleground of broken souls, in our neighborhoods and around the world. We are commanded by God Himself to introduce others to Jesus by our words and by our deeds. But how many of us are willing to make that sacrifice? How many of us are willing to truly get our hands dirty? The question comes from Jesus, not from me. He asks it time and time again in His word and time again in our hearts. We are called by God to offer others a better way, the only way, the way of Jesus. Without preaching, arrogance, or condescension, the early believers loved others. They helped those who were in need. Even at the risk of their own lives, they went to the places where the needs were. And so, without confrontation, protest, or debate, love did its work. The early church didn't picket. They didn't boycott. And they didn't gripe about what was going on in the culture around them. They just did things that astonished the Romans. They took in those abandoned babies. They helped the sick and the wounded. They restored dignity to those who were in slavery. They were willing to die for what they believed in. And after a while, their actions so softened the hearts of the Romans that the Romans wanted to know more about who these Christians were and who was the God they represented. Our call is just the same today: to serve others in love and to be prepared to tell them that we do it all because Jesus loves them. It really comes down to Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We all know that God has told us to serve one another. But serving isn't always easy. In fact, it can get downright messy. It takes time. And we have to deal with people that can make us uncomfortable at times. All that is true. And that is why the God of self says, don't get your hands dirty. Just write another check instead. Pay someone else to do it. Besides, you'll get a tax deduction. Just pray for those in need. That's all you really need to do. But the Lord tells us, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. The further we inch away from the God of self, the louder we hear Jesus' call and personal example to serve other people. It is then when we are listening to his voice that we realize our need to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus by getting our own hands dirty. Not only will this transform our own lives, it will transform the lives of others and even transform the culture around us. When we do what Jesus has called us to do, we will be the hands and feet of Jesus, living out something that we pray for every single Sunday. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Self-centered, self-absorbed Christians are capable of such world-changing actions only when they are willing to surrender their wills, willing to follow the commands of Scripture, willing to submit to authority, and willing to serve others. Then and only then do we find ourselves mysteriously transformed into the image of Jesus, and being used by him to bring others into God's marvelous kingdom. As it was then in the early church, so it needs to be today. God hasn't changed his mind about our duty. He hasn't changed his mandate for Christians or his church. So if we want to be a very healthy church, a church that makes a huge impact on the world around us, then we need to actively seek opportunities to bless the community and the world around us. We already do in some ways, but there is so much more that needs to be done. And that work will never be over until Jesus comes again. The early church was a wonder that captured the attention of everyone around it. Never before had anyone seen a group of people so loving, so committed to each other, and so willing to serve other people. And that right there is the primary purpose of the church today. Our primary purpose isn't to form groups. It's not to worship together on a Sunday morning. The church is not primarily a place to come together and to have fellowship, but small groups, large group worship, and all of our meetings together should focus on one thing and one thing alone: becoming equipped to reach the lost, to go out into the crazy world around us and get our hands dirty, serving and loving others with the love of Jesus. The truth is that the church is not about us. It is about us introducing people to Jesus. All our meetings together at church are for equipping us to share the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation, to show people how to receive both the abundant life here on earth and eternal life with the Lord in heaven. And we do that through serving others and through our words of truth and love. You and I were created for relationship. God is the God of relationship. And He doesn't want us just to get together and have fellowship together. He wants us to go out there and form relationships with others. Christ-centered, Christ-loving, Christ-serving relationships. His message of salvation expands. When the love of Jesus expands into the lives of those suffering in this hurting and this broken world. The truth is that the Lord could have chosen to reach the lost and the hurting all by Himself. But instead, for some mysterious reason that I've never figured out, He chose us to work with Him in His mission to the world. He wants us to pursue relationships with others through service, so that they in turn can have a relationship with Him and receive His salvation and the wholeness that only He can provide. Relationships are really central to the gospel. And relationships, true loving relationships, are what people in the world are craving, especially those who are hurting and broken. Our world is getting busier and more impersonal all the time. So one of the most important things that the church can do is to bridge the gap between people in kind, loving ways. After all, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. And it is through our loving, serving relationships with others that others will come to know God through Jesus as well. According to Acts 2:47, people were being added to the early church every single day. How do you think that happened? It was only because the individual members were sharing the truth of the gospel with people one-on-one through relationships. They were meeting their needs. They were helping them through the difficulties of life. Basically, they were sharing Jesus with them in word and in deed. People will come to the Lord so that they can be saved and made whole, usually only after you have gone to them and shown them what Jesus' love is really all about. Will that be easy? Absolutely not. But it's what each and every one of us has been called to do. I can't do it on my own, and you can't do it on your own. We need each other for support, for prayer, and to get the work done. Imagine a room filled with 500 empty plastic water bottles. One person could stand at the front and use a fire hose to try and spray the bottles and hopefully fill some of them up. However, if all of us filled a few bottles, the job would be done much better and much quicker. The individual members of the church can fill people's lives with the living water of Jesus much more efficiently than one person or one pastor can. You don't need any special training or ability. All the Lord is looking for is a humble heart and availability. And when we all take up the cause, we have the potential of turning our world upside down for the glory of Jesus. Our hearts should truly desire others to come and know Jesus through our works of service. And when we follow Jesus' command to make disciples of all people, He will lead the way. He will give us favor. And He will give us opportunity wherever we go and in many different ways. Once there was an American evangelist who traveled to Australia to conduct evangelistic services in several small churches. However, after 6 nights in 6 different churches, not a single person had come to faith in Jesus. The evangelist was discouraged as he boarded a small plane to return to Sydney and connect for his flight home. Only one other passenger was on the flight, seated several rows in front of him. The evangelist saw that this other person was intently reading something. Suddenly, the passenger walked back to him carrying a copy of the Gospel of John. He said, "Excuse me, but someone in the airport gave me this booklet and told me to read it. It's about Jesus. Here on this page, Jesus told a man he must be born again. Do you know anything about that?" The evangelist smiled at God's sense of humor. He gladly told the man about Jesus, and the man prayed to receive Jesus before the plane landed. Eventually, that man on the plane became the pastor of one of the largest churches in Australia. We have to realize that we have a part to play, but it is actually only a small part. It is the Lord who moves hearts as we move ourselves to serve others. We are to reach out in love. We are to be the light in the darkness, reflecting the light of Jesus. And we are to be the salt of the earth. But it is the Lord Himself who saves the lost and grows His church. God is far more interested in saving lost people than even the most passionate Christian. And the truth is that we do not save anyone. Only the Lord can give someone salvation. Only He can bring wholeness to people who are broken and hurting. Only He can give them the abundant life that Jesus promised for those who love Him. But it is our job, it is our duty, to step beyond our fear, to step up and to step out, to love the unlovable, to give hope to the hopeless, to give food to the hungry, an escape for those who are imprisoned to others and to drugs and alcohol. We are the ones who are called to listen to the empty souls of those struggling through life, going from day to day with no sense of meaning and purpose. We are here to offer people another way, the way of Jesus. We are the ones that God has told to plant a seed of truth into the lives of others. But it is God who will make it grow. If the early church could do it, then so can we. We won't have to face the opposition and the persecution that they faced, at least not in Canada for now. But we will have to face and overcome the opposition that comes from ourselves. That part of us that wants a comfortable, self-centered faith. And we will have to get over our fear of getting our hands dirty. But when we do, we will see Jesus show up in our lives like never before. Because you know what? If Jesus was walking the earth today, I don't believe that He would be in here this morning. He would be out there, ministering to the hurting and the broken, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, those with broken relationships and broken hearts and dreams, those who have pursued their dreams but are now left with a nightmare. Sometimes we come to church because we think that Jesus is here, when his real presence, his true power, is out there where he has called us to go. God wants to add people to his church, to the true family of God, where they are his true sons and daughters. And because the members of the early church did their part, the early church grew miraculously. In Acts 1, 120 people prayed at Pentecost. In Acts 2, 3,000 came to Jesus in faith after Peter's message. In Acts 2, 47, the Lord added to their number daily. In Acts 4, 4, the church grew to 5,000 men, not including their wives and children. And in Acts 21, 30, the church had grown to tens of thousands of members. Wow. And just to think that the Lord wants to do the same today. God hasn't changed, but I think our priorities have. Too many people in too many churches want to be comfortable instead of comforting others. We want to take it easy when the lives of those around us are hard. We want to hold on to our lives, and what we are doing is losing them instead. It is time for the churches around the world to wake up, to arise from their comfortable slumber and do what Jesus told us to do, because his day of return is getting very, very close. In many churches, at least in the Western world, it has become a faith about me and not about other people. And it really is the byproduct of a materialistic, selfish, and uncaring mentality. This is not pleasing to God, and many people are living in hell and heading there because of it. Remember, there is no such thing as a quiet faith. Our faith needs to be lived out in the world around us. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You are the lights of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We have been saved, according to Ephesians 2:10, so that we can do good works. And those good works will not only help the afflicted, it will create a curiosity in the community around us about Jesus. And we do that by creatively sharing God's love in meaningful, loving, and Jesus-centered ways. Unhealthy churches do not focus on these things, and so they are destined to die. When it comes to the world around us, it's not enough to complain in the newspaper, hold up signs, or write an angry blog. It will take us denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. When it came to the dying infants in the Roman world, it wasn't complaining, holding up protest signs, or marches that made a difference. It was individual families going out at night and taking in abandoned infants who were dying of exposure. It was bringing them into their families and raising them as their own. And it was by other members of the church who supported them financially. We have a similar problem in our society, except the children are dying before they are born. So what can we do? We can support the local pregnancy center. We can get our hands dirty and volunteer there. That's just one example. The needs are endless, and so are the opportunities. When we minister to the drug addict, we aren't out there to make ourselves look good. We are inviting a broken soul to come back home to the Father so that he can rule and reign with Christ. when we encourage the immigrant woman who scrubs toilets every day on hands and knees, who prays to God for strength to get through the day and can barely speak enough English to understand what you are saying. We are interacting with a future queen of the cosmos, a joint heir with Christ. When you do these things, when you decide to get your hands dirty by reaching out with the love of Jesus, you'll become like him. You'll be a part of a healthy church, a church that the Lord will grow for his glory and use to make eternal impacts in the lives of those who live in our community and around the world. You and I are called to do not extraordinary things, but very ordinary things, with an extraordinary love that flows from the very heart of God.